Good, ain't he, church? And the Lord's always been good, always been faithful. When he saved my soul out of the pit I was in, he's been good, and he's been good ever since. Amen. He's been good to me, and I appreciate that this morning. I want to say I appreciate this opportunity to preach to you. I want to say I appreciate Brother Shane. He's always been a great inspiration to me in my life. Growing up there, he's from around our area, and I was probably always that aggravating kid that always was around and just watching Brother Shane, watched how he preached, watched what he did, and him and Sister Kayla have always been a great inspiration to me in my life spiritually, and they've always encouraged me, always, been good to me, and I do appreciate them so much, and the life they now live, they've always been the same. Never have I seen them change. I've watched them, and they've been the same, and I do appreciate them so much. Appreciate my wife, how much she means to me. I do appreciate that. But if you have your Bibles, would you take them with me this morning and go to Psalms chapter 84? Psalms chapter number 84. Try not to be too long here this morning, but I want to preach to you what I feel on my heart. Amen. Enjoyed that Sunday school lesson this morning from Brother Matt. Wonderful teaching from in the book of James. But Psalms chapter number 84, we're going to read the whole chapter here. If we would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to. Psalm chapter number 84, verse number 1. The Bible says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, and they will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, and every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Amen. If the Lord will help us, I want to draw a text from verse number 3. Speaking about this sparrow here. "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." If the Lord will help us this morning, I want to preach to you on a sparrow worth saving. A sparrow worth saving. Would you stretch your hands to heaven and ask the Holy Ghost to help us this morning? Father, we thank you once again, God, for this opportunity we have to be in your house. Oh, God, I pray you anoint us, God, from the back door, Lord, from the front. God, I pray you help us, God, in a very, very special way, God. Nothing I can say, nothing I can do. God, we'll do anything, God. We don't add anything. God, I don't want to take anything away. God, I want to preach according to your word. God, help us be doers of the word and not hearers only. God, help us in a special way. Do it only you can. And we'll worship you, God, for everything you're going to do right here this morning. God, I pray you help us. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. A sparrow worth saving. As I begin to study this psalm here, I'm going to just lay this little foundation, and we'll try to preach to you, and we'll get out of the way. But this psalm, from what I've found in studying, is about the house of God. Aren't you glad to come to the house of God this morning. I don't know about you, but back home, I look forward to Sundays. We get to go to God's house and be with God's people and worship our God. It's a wonderful day. We get to come to the house of the Lord. I find in my life growing up that most of my special moments, if you will, my greatest moments were in the house of God. Whether it be growing up there, mom and dad, they'd take us, they'd drag us to church everywhere. Mom would bring us there. We'd sleep on the church pew. They'd wake us up. We'd pray in the house of God. We'd be in youth choir in the house of God. All these things would take place in God's house. I have great memories, fond memories of the house of God. And this morning, it looks to me like the psalmist is speaking about the greatness of God's house. Amen. We find here in verse number 1, he says, how amiable are thy tabernacles. How great is another word he can use there for thy tabernacles. And he realized the fact that God's house is a special place to be a part of. Amen. We take it for granted, especially, amen, a few years ago when the pandemic hit. Amen. We weren't able to be in God's house. But thank God, amen, we're able to be back in the Lord's house this morning. We're able to come together and fellowship one with another, to have that unity as God, amen, desires unity in the house of God. And we find throughout this chapter, he makes mention of how good the tabernacle is. And then he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. Amen. He began to speak about how if I don't do anything in the house of God, but just be a servant and open up the door, I'd rather be there than to be anywhere else. Amen. I'd rather be in God's house this morning than anywhere else in all of this world. I'd rather be here in the house of God. I appreciate God's house. Appreciate the people of the Lord. In Psalm 102, we read also, it talks about, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from thee in the day when I'm in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like grass, like smoke, and my bones are burned as an earth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forgot to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. And notice this, I'm like an owl in the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. We notice in these two different psalms, they mention about a sparrow. One talks about a sparrow hath found an house. And can I tell you this morning, a sparrow, you can study it on your own time, and I looked into a sparrow, and it's not really a bird that we recognize a whole lot as a beautiful bird. It's not a very important bird. It's a worthless bird, if I could say that. Amen. It don't have much value to it. But we find here in verse number 3 of chapter 84, he said, a sparrow hath found an house. Amen. And can I tell you, when I got saved, I was worthless at the core. Amen. I was good for nothing on my way to hell. Amen. But he gave me a house. Amen. He gave me a place to abide when I wasn't worthy of salvation, when I wasn't worthy of his love. He gave it to me anyway, friend. And I'm so thankful that somebody like myself could find a house in the house of the Lord. I can find a home in God's house. Amen. When I got saved years ago at a vacation Bible school there back home, I remember it like it was yesterday. And I've told this testimony. I try to tell it everywhere I go. But I got saved. I wasn't out doing drugs. I wasn't out, amen, you know, hiding things from mom and dad. But I was just a young boy on my way to hell. I knew right from wrong. I knew where I stood. I knew I needed to be saved. Amen. And can I tell you this morning, amen, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I'm not sure what hell hole I'd be in this morning. I'm not sure what pit I'd come out of today. Amen. But he saved me that night. He changed my life, made me a new creature in Christ. He said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. I was brand new in Christ, and I remember the night I got saved, I could take you to the spot where I was born again. Amen. And I remember the next day there at home, we had a Rite Aid there in the town of Smithfield or Selma. And I met mom that day for lunch. My grandparents had taken me there to meet my mother for lunch. And I remember we were in the drive through that Rite Aid, and I looked up at mom. I said, "Mom, I got saved last night. It was so real and it was so good. I'd like to get saved again tonight." Amen. And it was so real. It was such a change in my life that I desired to have more of Him. And can I tell you what, friend, when we get in His presence and when we get changed, we won't want the things of this world, but we want more of Him. And the heart of our hearts will cry out, "More of Him, more of Him." I desire not a new car, not the finest things in this life, but I desire more of the Lord this morning. Amen. I desire more of His Spirit, more of His presence. This morning as we begin to worship, I can feel the presence of the Lord come in here. Amen. It was so good. Amen. I don't want it to ever leave. Amen. I know we go through spells and times in our life where we pray and we may not feel it like we do it sometimes, but I love when the presence of the Lord comes in and we feel Him like He's right there beside us. Don't you? I love to feel His presence. And can I tell you this sparrow, it was good for nothing, worthless, but he found a house in God's house. Amen. When I come to God's house, I can find help. Greater than any doctor's office, greater than any courthouse, greater than any other house in this world. We receive bad news sometimes from the doctor's office. We receive bad news from the courthouse. But in God's house, we hear the good news. Amen. We hear the gospel preached. We hear about how Jesus Christ was crucified. He rose again according to the scriptures. We hear about how, amen, He can save sinners. He can bring those that are dead back to life. We hear about those that are in need. They can find a physician. Those that are without can be with this morning. We can all find that in God's house today. God's house. But the sparrow found a home there. And just to tell you how worthless that little bird is, and I'm not talking about your pen. I'm talking about a sparrow this morning. It's worthless. According to Matthew 10 and 29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." A sparrow, and it's worthless. According to what I've studied, a farthing is about 1/4 of a penny. And that's that a quarter of a penny, not even 1 cent is it worth. And we find here that Matthew in his gospel wrote it. He recorded and said that we are worth more. We have more value than many sparrows. One may fall to the ground and the Father knows about it. Your hairs on your head, they'll fall to the ground and He knows the number that has fallen to the ground. He cares about us. He thinks we're worth dying for. He thinks we're worth saving this morning. And just as the sparrow, when he falls to the ground and he's moved by the falling of the sparrow, this morning when you and I suffer, when you and I are in pain, you and I are troubled on every side, He cares about us. He's concerned about our problems. There's no problem that God cannot solve. Amen. This morning, whatever your need may be, it may seem insurmountable. It may seem like it'll never be met. But as your pastor said this morning, if we pray anything, if we ask anything according to His will, He shall hear it. He'll answer our prayers. He'll meet our needs according to His riches in glory. He cares about us and our needs that need to be met. He can meet those needs. Oftentimes, we try other avenues. We go elsewhere to get our needs met. Back in the The older church age, they would run to God before they ran anywhere else. They would seek God before they sought anything else. Whether they didn't meet whether they couldn't pay the bills on time, whether they couldn't then had a daughter that was sick, they didn't run everywhere else. Well, they ran directly to God, and God met their needs. Friend, can I tell you, we have such a great God that He meets our needs if we would put our faith in God. Amen. Brother Matt talked this morning about faith without works is dead. If we would truly put our faith in God and watch Him work, I've seen Him in my family's life, how things looked like they were so bad, things looked like it was going down, but God turned it around, not because of who I was, but because of who He is. This morning, He's a good God. Amen. He's so good to us, and He meets our needs. He meets our needs this morning. When I was a young boy, we were going into a normal surgery to have my toxins and my adenoids removed, and just a simple surgery, you wouldn't believe. And as we walked in, they were about to perform the surgery, and the doctor noticed that I had a hole in the roof of my mouth. It was what they call a submucous palate. It's where there's just a big hole there. We never noticed it before. And they were concerned, and they said, "Well, we're just going to have to repair it. But if we would have performed this surgery, your son would never be able to talk again." Amen. I'll tell you, God's good, church. Amen. God's good, church. Amen. We could have let that slide by. I wouldn't be able to talk. I wouldn't be able to preach the gospel. But God showed those men, God showed that doctor what would happen. And he repaired it, put 66 stitches in the roof of my mouth. And they thought, you know, this ought to do it all. Well, it didn't work. Amen. They said, "Well, we're going to have to do it again." And so we got into praying. Amen. I know this morning, I may not have the clearest voice, but God, amen, cleaned it up for me. God worked it out for me. Can I tell you, I know the great physician. I know what He's done in my life. And friend, just what He's done for me, I know what He can do for you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is too hard for God. He can work all things out for our good. Even for a sparrow, even for something as worthless and pitiful as a sparrow. It's so worthless as what I've looked into. It doesn't even have a pretty song to sing. It don't even have great things to offer. But I'm so glad when I came to the table, Brother Matt, I didn't have a whole lot to offer Him. I didn't have anything to offer Him. I was worthy of His wrath. I was worthy of His judgment. I was not worthy of mercy. But thank God this morning, He took the cup of wrath without mercy so that I could take the cup of mercy without wrath. This morning I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the sparrow, lifeless, a lonely sparrow, a loathsome sparrow, a languishing sparrow, not worth anything. But can I say, it was a sparrow in need of straightening. Amen. I don't know about you, but the way I was going, the way I was headed, amen, it was to hell. Amen. It was headed to hell. But I needed somebody to straighten me out. Amen. The Bible said that this is a straight way. Amen. It's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. But there is a broad way, and there's going to be a lot in that broad way. This morning, if we're all to get together, we can probably fit down this row, amen, in a single file, no problem at all. But if we all would come together and try that side aisle, it'd be hard to fit in. It's a narrow way, amen, it's a straight path. But I needed somebody to straighten me out. Mama couldn't do it, Daddy couldn't do it. But I needed a Savior that could straighten out my life, that could straighten the way I was going. And I had somebody just in time. I had somebody that came to my rescue. He came to my rescue. He straightened me out. A sparrow in need of stirring. Amen. I was dry. I was dead to the core. And I need somebody to stir me up. Amen. And that Savior, He dropped that blood in my life. And I hadn't been the same since. They ask me why I'm happy. They ask me why I get excited about the blood. Because I'll never get over what the Lord has done for me. I'll never get over of His blood. I'll never get over of His salvation. Because it's been real in my life. And real in my life. Sparrow in need of a Savior. I needed saving in my life. I needed something that can bring me out of the pit I was in. David said that He brought me up also. Brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And He established my goings. He put me on a rock. He gave me a foundation to stand on. But He brought me up also. Amen. Didn't He bring you up also this morning? When the sin you were involved in, you weren't worth much, but He thought you were worth saving this morning. Hallelujah. A few things I want us to see here about this sparrow and how He thought we were worthy. If I could, just a few things I want us to see, and I'll be done. I see here that we are worthy of His production. Worthy of His production. In Psalm 139 and verse 13 through 17, we read, "For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Can I tell you this morning, we were worthy of His production. He thought enough of us to make you and I. In Genesis, we read about how He created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him, male and female. He thought enough of us to put us, amen, in His image, to make us in His likeness. He didn't put your dog, your cat in His likeness, but He thought us worthy. He said, "I'm going to find someone that'll love me, that'll worship me, that'll cherish me." And this morning, the dogs worship Him. The animals worship Him without even knowing. But you and I have come to His house. We've gathered into His presence. And we have to choose to worship Him this morning. And you know why? Because He made us in His image. And we must choose this morning to serve Him and to worship Him. We must come into His house and make up in our mind we're going to worship the Lord. Yes. Amen. Nobody's making you do it. You can come here this morning, you can sit on your pew, and you don't have to worship at all. But God wants you to decide for yourself, "I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to magnify His name." He thought enough of us to make us in His image. We just aren't any old creation, but we are made in the image of God, given dominion by Him. He chose Adam to name the animals. He chose Adam to have dominion and to be a good steward over all that He had created. He chose you and I to be like Him. He thought us worthy of His production. In Jeremiah 1 and 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." No other creation is in God's image. No other creation. Monkeys may look similar to some, but we're made in God's image. We're made in His image this morning. Can I also say that we are worthy of His pursuit?
Not only are we worthy of His production, but we're worthy of His pursuit. This morning in Genesis, we find after He creates man, He makes him in the image and the likeness of God. We find here in Genesis 3:8, He said, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." But I find here, it should have been Adam and Eve that were looking for God, but it was God that was pursuing Adam and Eve. This morning, I remember when I got saved, I really wasn't looking Him. I really wasn't looking to find Him, but He found me right where I was. He came pursuing after me. Amen. The Bible says this, amen, in 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21, it talks about, amen, the oppositions of science, falsely so-called atheists and evolutionists want to cloud our minds with false ideas and false things about how we come from animals and all kinds of filthy ideas and knowledge and false science. But this morning, amen, He made us in His image, not only for production, but He made us, amen, to pursue us, amen. The holy, not a physician, amen, but He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was in the sycamore tree. He was looking around, but He came right to where He was. He came looking for Him. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I want to go to your house today." He wanted to be in Zacchaeus' house. He wanted to pursue mankind all for all of eternity. I find that God has sought to have a relationship with mankind. It has been divided throughout eternity. We find whenever He creates Adam and Eve, it is broken. The communication, the relationship is severed because of sin. It's been done away with because of sin. But throughout ages, we find that the blood of Jesus came. Amen. We've been made, sons and daughters of God. Amen. By His blood, we've been grafted into this thing by His blood. Amen. And He's been able to have relationship again with mankind. And we can get as close to God as we want to. You, if you're married this morning, you can get as close to your wife. You can be as loving to your wife as you want to be. If you stop telling her you love her, if you stop being kind, you stop having a good spirit, a good attitude, amen, it will seem as if you do not love her anymore. And can I say this morning, we must show our love to God. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. We look for Him because He first looked for me. I'm thankful this morning that He came looking for me. He came seeking after me. And because of that, I want to serve Him all the days of my life. I want to fall in love with Him. We were worthy of His production and worthy of His pursuit. He sought after mankind. And also we find, lastly, we're worthy of His price. Worthy of His price. Oh, what a great price He paid. The song said He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Hallelujah. The song said, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out." And He don't remember them anymore. This morning, that price that He paid when He took my sins all away, He cast them into the sea. He don't remember them as far as the east is from the west. He paid such a great price. He gave His only begotten Son for somebody as worthless as I am. I'm not worthy of His love. I'm not worthy of His grace. But He paid the price regardless this morning. He paid the price regardless. We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave His only begotten Son.
Brother Matt was talking in Sunday school this morning about how he sought for the poor because they didn't give anything back in return. The rich wouldn't try to give money back to make up, but the poor couldn't give anything back. We couldn't give enough to pay for what he had done for us. Oh, but what great price he paid so that you and I can be saved this morning. Romans 8:32 said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He gave his son willingly on the cross. A sparrow worth saving this morning. I heard of a story up in Boston, Massachusetts. One day the pastor was outside at the church doing some work. And while he was working, a little boy came walking by the churchyard with an old rusty cage. He said, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" And the preacher looked back at him and he said, "I'm good, son. How are you? What do you have in the cage?" And the young boy said, "I've got three sparrows in this little rusty cage." He said, "I caught them in some traps." Preacher said, "Son, what are you going to do with those birds?" He said, "I'm going to go home and feed them to the family cat. They're not worth much. I'm just going to give them to my cat and let him eat." Preacher said, "Why would you do such a thing?" He said, "Son, can I buy those birds from you?" And the young boy looked at him and said, "Sure, preacher." He said, "You can probably go get the same birds in a field somewhere. It's not really worth anything. They're not worth any price. They don't even sing pretty, preacher." And he said, "I'll give you $2. The boy, he looked amazed. He just set traps and got these, and the preacher said he's going to give him $2 for things and he just got for free. The boy, he said, "Okay," and gave him the three birds and the rusty cage. And as soon as the young boy left, old preacher grabbed that cage and set it on the ground. He opened up the lock and let the birds go free. Amen. Can I say this morning, that's exactly what our Lord did for us. He bought us with a price that, and we really weren't worth the price that he paid. We really weren't worth the blood that was shed. We really weren't worth that gruesome death on the cross. But he bought us. And whenever he bought us, he didn't just stick us to the side, but as soon as he bought us, he sat us down and let us go free this morning. Oh, I'm free this morning, not because of anything I've done, but because of the price that he paid. I'm a sparrow that was worth saving. He bought me to set me free this morning. What about you? Did he purchase you that you can go free? Amen. Maybe there's one here, I don't know. Maybe there's one that has not been purchased by his blood. And you don't understand the freedom I'm talking about this morning. I've got so much freedom in the Lord. You don't understand all that. Maybe there may be one. I'm not sure, but you too can go free today. You can go free. I wonder if we'd stand all over the house. I'm fixing the clothes. My wife would come to the piano if that's okay. A sparrow worth saving. A lonely sparrow. A loathsome sparrow. Lifeless or languishing. Not worth anything at all. But he thought they're worth saving. If they're worth dying for. I love them so much that I'll die for them. He could have died. I'm not too well, you know, educated in all this, but I'm sure he could have died for the animal kingdom. I'm sure he could have died and made them in charge. But he didn't. He died for mankind. He wanted to see us make it to heaven. Wanted to see us enjoy the liberty of God. When he was down on that cross, he looked over to the thief that was hanging there. And the thief looked at him and said, "Remember me this day. Remember me as you go into your kingdom." And he said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." He was bleeding for that man. He was giving his life so that that man could take part of everlasting life.
Amen. He bore that tree for someone else. Again, what a wonderful thing our Lord has done. That was my cross He bore. That was my tree I should have been on, but He bore it for me. Amen. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, as she begins to play, I wonder, maybe there may be one that doesn't quite know the saving grace and the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one. I don't know, in a congregation this size, there may be, there may not be, but maybe there is one. And you want to make sure that everything is well with your soul. Maybe you want to make sure that all is well with your soul. I wonder, would you come if there may be one? I wonder, would you come around the altar and meet the Lord for yourself this morning? Have a conversation with Him and ask Him to come into your heart. But maybe everyone is right, and praise God for it. But maybe there are some that have forgotten what the Lord has done. Maybe there are some that have just let the saving grace become stale in their life. They aren't as excited about it as they once were. Maybe that's you this morning. And as I was preaching today, you got to thinking about, oh how good the Lord is. Oh, how wonderful the Lord is. I wonder, would you come around the altar this morning? I wonder, would you come and stir up the gift of God on the inside of you? And maybe, if that isn't you, I wonder if the church would. Let's come. Let's find us a place to pray. And let's talk to the Lord this morning.